Good morning. You are listening to People Rise Up on your non-commercial community radio station, KBOO, here in Portland, Oregon. My name is Andrew Geller, and this morning we're going to revisit one of the regular topics here on the program, at least for the past 5-6 years or so, and that's the issue of fee-based recreational access on the publicly owned federal lands of the United States. The same issue applies to state lands in many places. We're not going to really be addressing state lands in any specific way today. We're going to be sticking federal here. And joining me to talk about what's been going on this issue, I have once again Scott Silver, the founder and director of Wild Wilderness, based over in Bend, Oregon. Good morning to you, Scott.
Good morning, Andrew.
And also joining us this morning, we have Kitty Benzer. She is a co-founder of the Western Slope No Fee Coalition in Colorado. Good morning to you, Kitty.
How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing well. Thanks to both of you for joining us. Now, I want to start talking to Scott for a few minutes here about the Federal Lands Recreation Enhancement Act, or FLRIA, which is really awkward. Y'all like to talk about it as the Recreational Access Tax, or the RAT. And seeing as the Disney Corporation's had a long hand in what's going on with this, that's what I'm going to use. So the RAT refers to the federal legislation passed last December as a rider on an appropriations bill, thanks to Ralph Regula, that now dominates what the public land agencies do in terms of recreational fees. It's been 10 months or so since the passage of the legislation. Agencies have devised implementation guidelines. And so, Scott, we talked about this earlier in the year, and I honestly don't recall how detailed we got about the RAT. Why don't you do a quick summary of what the RAT authorizes and I guess how the RAT came to be as opposed to a different and more widely supported and, I dare say, better piece of legislation that didn't make it?
Well, Andrew, there's been a lot of pressure put on by the recreation industry and the ideologues, mainly in the Department of Interior, who've been trying to make the fees permanent. And whereas the fee demonstration program that began in 1996 was never popular and was never successful, the supporters of the idea of commodifying recreation never gave up. There was a standalone bill introduced last year by Ralph Regula in the House that basically was the recreation industry's wish list. And that bill went nowhere. It never had a hearing in the House. It was never so much as introduced in the Senate. It looked like the fee demonstration program, for all intents and purposes, was going to die last year. But at the last minute, and I really do mean the last minute, there was some political negotiations undertaken, and the RAT became law. And it's a 10-year extension of the fee demonstration program that writes new legislation. It's not really an extension of the fee demonstration program. It's a continuation of the idea of charging people for access to public lands. The good news about the RAT was, whereas fee demo had been totally laissez-faire, it was an intention to give the land managers free rein to try whatever they wanted and to see what would succeed and what would fail. The RAT put some significant sideboards on what fees could be charged and what couldn't be charged. And I guess it was hoped by some people that those sideboards would prove effective and would prevent the agencies from simply charging people to walk on the public lands. The law was quite explicit. It said fees will not be charged to walk through, hike through, or ride through public lands.
Or boat through or drive through.
Or boat through, exactly. The legislation also said that if fees were going to be charged, what were called standard amenity fees, that a certain minimum amount of development would have to be provided. And to try to quantify that development, they listed six specific things that had to exist. It wasn't so much that it was the six things that were important, but it was a way to say we're not going to just charge for undeveloped recreation. And those six things were designated parking, permanent toilet, permanent trash can, picnic table, interpretive signage or kiosk, and security services. And the idea was that with that level of development, the supporters of the program said, well, you know, we'll charge people there, but we won't charge them in undeveloped trailheads. And unfortunately, the program hasn't worked at all. The Forest Service has paid no attention to what the law said. They've not respected the law. They created guidelines for implementing the program that are not even loosely based on the law. They came up with whole new ideas of creating things like a high-impact recreation area designation. And it's a fiction. It's not supported in the law. And it says if they think this area gets a lot of use, then they come up with their own management paradigm for that area. So the long and the short of it is the RAT has been with us about 10 months. It has not been a success. It is no more popular than Fee Demo is. And it's gotten to a point that we're hoping that Congress will take another look at this program and say, look, Fee Demo didn't work. The RAT didn't work. What do we do?
Okay, so at this point, I want to bring Kitty into the conversation here from the Western Slope No Fee Coalition in Colorado. Now, you folks have written somewhat, I won't say quite extensively, but somewhat about the Forest Service interim implementation guidelines for the RAT. They issued this towards the end of April of this year, and you folks literally just last week released a report, a site survey and analysis, or I guess it was earlier in October, site survey and analysis of Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management implementation of the Federal Lands Recreation Enhancement Act. Someone in your groups worked in government for a title like that, I'm sure.
It's quite a mouthful, it describes what we did.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how the Forest Service kind of ran away with ideas in the legislation and created new ideas that the legislation doesn't authorize in their interim implementation guidelines, and what you found to put into this report you put out.
Sure. So yes, both the BLM and the Forest Service have published interim implementation guidelines to their local managers saying, hey, we have a new law, we've got new rules, and here's how these new rules should be implemented on the ground. When we saw those, we could see very clearly that they had taken the sideboards that are in the law and stretched them just about beyond recognition. They had invented this concept of a high-impact recreation area, which is nowhere described in the law, that allows them to charge fees for pretty much anything they want within a particular area. They'd also authorized their managers to charge fees, to continue to charge fees, for trailheads that give access into backcountry. And access to backcountry is another thing that the law says they cannot charge for. So we could see that the implementation guidelines were not following what we understood to be the letter and the spirit of the law and the intention of Mr. Regula, who introduced it. At that point, what we did is we asked our members and our supporters from around the country to help us identify how the actual implementation was being done on the ground, to actually go out and visit a trailhead, a picnic area, a campground, whatever public land facilities are near them, and fill out a form that we provided to them and let us know and identify those that are not in compliance with the law. Now, we've only looked at a small percentage. The Forest Service has over 4,500 fee sites. The BLM has about 100, and some of those are large areas. So we've only looked at a few of those, but we've already identified more than 300 non-compliant sites that we believe are not in conformity with the letter and the spirit of the law. We put those into a report along with photographs, documentation, facts, and figures, and we brought that all to the attention of Congress early in October. And that, among some other feedback they were getting, got a hearing scheduled, which was held last week in the relevant oversight committee, which is under the Public Lands and Forests Subcommittee in the U.S. Senate. They held a hearing, and they called witnesses from both the Interior Department to represent the BLM and the Agriculture Department representing the Forest Service, and asked them to explain how they're implementing it. And they also gave us a chance to testify as to what we have found on the ground. And I was honored to be a witness at that hearing last Wednesday.
Okay, well, let's come back to that in just a minute, because I want to talk a little bit about this concept, that this Forest Service created concept of high-impact recreation area.
Sure. And what the law says is that in order to charge a standard amenity fee, an area must have six specific things on the site, and Scott went through them, parking, mm-hmm. trash can, toilet, and so on. But in another place on the law, it says that the agencies cannot charge for access to dispersed undeveloped backcountry. They don't want to give up the fees that they've been charging for backcountry, so what they've done is they've taken that one word area out of the law and have expanded on that and created this entire concept of a high-impact recreation area, or a HIRA. And what that is a large area. In Southern California, we're talking 400,000 acres that they decide is getting enough use in the overall area that it needs special management, and somewhere in that area are those six things. But they're certainly not at every recreational site. They're not at every trailhead. They're not at every picnic area. But they're somewhere in that area. So they're just stretching right to the edge and beyond the edge of the envelope of what the law allows with this concept of a HIRA that is simply not in the law.
Okay, so now let me, just so I've got this clear, if in the case of one of these Southern California locations where, say, you've got a 100,000-acre area that the Forest Service considers a high-impact recreation area, if in that 100,000 acres there's parking, a toilet, a trash receptacle, something interpretive, picnic tables, and security services, then they can charge a fee to get into it from any access point.
Exactly. And the law also forbids them to charge an entrance fee for Forest Service or BLM land, but that's exactly what that is a de facto entrance fee to that entire, in this case, 100,000-acre HIRA.
And am I correct in guessing that the reason they're still doing this is because the RAT changed in a somewhat significant way where they could charge fees compared to fee demo, and the Forest Service is just figuring that congressional oversight won't catch up with the fact that they're breaking the law at hundreds of locations around the country?
I think that's probably a pretty accurate estimate, yes.
Okay. You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO in Portland, Oregon. My guests are Scott Silver from Wild Wilderness and Kitty Benzer from the Western Slope No Fee Coalition. You can find out about Wild Wilderness online at www.wildwilderness.org. And you can find out about the Western Slope No Fee Coalition at www.westernslopenofee.org. And the People Rise Up website at kboo.fm has all kinds of links to the history of fee demo, going back to the 80s, all kinds of stuff about current legislation, bunch of Forest Service websites, opportunity to print your very own notice to forest officer declaring that, in fact, you may not be engaged in a recreational activity, even though you might be parked where the Forest Service thinks you should pay, plus all sorts of other stuff. So, why don't we now, and Scott, I am going to come back to you, but I just wanted to talk to Kitty a little bit about the hearing that she was invited to testify at last Wednesday before the Public Lands Subcommittee of the Senate Energy Natural Resources Committee. So I haven't forgotten about you. So Kitty, you were one of three people invited to testify. I can only assume you brought up results of the Western Slopes report regarding Forest Service and BLM implementation of the law.
We did.
Tell us about the hearing. Why do you think you were invited? How receptive were the senators? Did they all attend the hearing, et cetera?
Well, all the senators did not attend, but that would be a very rare occasion. They only do that when the big TV cameras are rolling. But we did have three very important senators who attended, Senator Craig from Idaho, who is the chairman, and Senator Thomas from Wyoming, who has been a supporter of fees for national parks only, but opposed the rat in December and tried to keep it from being attached.
And had a good bill as an alternative.
And he had a good bill as an alternative that had passed the Senate unanimously, but never even got on the, heard in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And then Senator Salazar from Colorado, who's my senator, was gracious enough to attend. But there were staff people there from additional members. And, of course, in the Senate, most of the work is done through staff. So attendance is not really a good gauge of whether they are supportive or not.
But
Senator Craig asked some very pointed questions of the agency representatives who were there, and called them, reminded them that he has opposed entrance fees by any name. He's not a very big fan of these HIRAs. They are aware that there are other ways in which the law is broken. One of the things I testified about in regards to our survey is not just the HIRAs. We actually found three categories of noncompliance in these surveys, and this went on all across the country. Besides the HIRAs, we also have identified trailhead parking fees as a major violation of the law. And that's especially relevant to you there in the Pacific Northwest, because that's the major way that the Northwest Forest Pass is implemented on your local national forest.
Oh, it's all over Mount Hood. I've got stuff to send to you, Scott, about documenting violations of this implementation. And for those of you listening out there who recreate in Mount Hood, you can click and download a real basic, simple form from Wild Wilderness and do a little, you know, take a couple minutes out of your recreating to, you know, do a quick field checking of whether or not a site that says it's supposed to charge a fee actually has all the stuff, and send it to Scott, and he's compiling all those. But back to you, Kitty, with stories about last week's hearing.
I was just going to elaborate on that just a little bit, in that it's our contention that because the law says there can be no charge for access to backcountry, that a charge just to park at a trailhead and go for a hike is an illegal charge by definition, regardless of what amenities might happen to be located at that trailhead. I mean, if someone's going to go and hike to Mirror Lake, for instance, they aren't going to visit the Mirror Lake trailhead. That's not their destination. That's just where they're leaving their vehicle. The hike itself and the undeveloped backcountry beyond that trailhead is what they're visiting. And so we feel that all trailhead fees of any kind are in violation, are not in compliance with the RAT. And then we found a third area of noncompliance, which is the special recreation permits that pretty much takes in everything that isn't covered in one of the other two and allows them to charge for a specific activity rather than a specific site. In other words, the law is trying to kind of rein them in and say, well, you have to charge for a site that has certain specific things provided, but the special recreation permit is saying, oh, we can charge you for a particular activity no matter where you engage in it. Rock climbing, for instance, or paddling on a river, or hiking in a wilderness. There's charges being made for hiking wilderness, which are undeveloped by definition, but they're doing it under this special recreation category. So really, we really found three broad areas of noncompliance that both agencies are engaging in.
And as a result of that hearing, I guess it's a result of the hearing, the subcommittee is taking public comment until this Friday, 2 p.m. West Coast time, and the reason it's 2 p.m. here is because it's close of business in Washington at 5. And Scott, you've been sending around notification to different websites and lists that you're on and maintain, and I got one earlier this week requesting people take just a few minutes, again, you know, about as much time as it would take to fill out a couple of those forms you're providing for folks to do field checking of rec fee sites, to send an email. And can you just tell us a little bit about what that's what that's all about?
Absolutely. Well, the hearing, which Kitty testified at, has left the record open until the end of this week for the public to submit their own testimony. The process for doing so is really quite easy, but it's specific. I encourage people to visit the Wild Wilderness website and to click through on where it indicates action alerts until they get to the featured action alert. What that will ask you to do is send an email to a particular person but it will also ask you to, at the introduction of your email, state specifically that you're providing testimony in response to this specific hearing. If that's not done, the testimony will not be effective. But this is really a wonderful opportunity for the public to get involved. The program, the RAT, has been around for almost a year. The Senate realized that there were issues with it, and they really want to know specifically what are those issues. They're not as interested in hearing people say why fees should not be charged and why the RAT should be repealed. They've heard that before. What they want to hear right now is the experiences people are having when they go out onto the forest and find that fees are being charged simply to walk in the woods.
Yeah, and that's actually, I've been out mushroom hunting many times this fall, as I do every fall, and, you know, was kind of wondering, I knew there'd been a change in the law, I knew there were these six things, and I just couldn't quite figure out why there were still all these signs saying you got to pay a fee at all these locations that obviously did not meet the legal requirement for charging. Obviously, other people also were displeased by it because in subsequent trips to some locations, signs were then gone or almost entirely gone. It didn't look like the Forest Service took them out. It looks like some other folks may have. And again, you referenced the action alert from your website. The People Rise Up website has a direct link to that page. Towards the bottom of the narrative for today's show, there's a link that says this action alert. And if you happen to click on that, it brings you to what Scott just described. So it might be a slightly easier way to locate it. And the action alert says this may very well be the best opportunity in 2005 to have an impact regarding recreation fees. We've got a little bit of time left, and let's engage in a little partly idle speculation about what might the Senate do. Any ideas? Any willingness to speculate about what could happen as a result of this public comment?
Well, what we know for sure is that the subcommittee is submitting written follow-up questions to at least to the two agency people who testified, and possibly to the other witnesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, we do not know what they're going to do, but all we can do is continue, and this, as Scott said, this is the best opportunity in a long time, and it's easy because it's email, which doesn't happen very often. They don't usually take input by email.
Mm-hmm.
We need to let them know that this is not being implemented correctly on the ground because they wrote the law, they passed the law, even though most of them had never even read it, and if it's not being implemented correctly, they really should not let that situation continue. It's their responsibility see that the law is being implemented correctly, and we have every hope that they will stay on top of this issue and continue to pay attention to it.
What did you want to say, Scott?
Yeah, I would just add, we are not calling for a repeal of the RAT for a number of reasons, one of which is when the RAT was passed, it superseded a great many other laws, and to repeal the RAT right now would cause a hemorrhage, basically, in the continuity of legislation that deals with public lands. So what is really important is to encourage people to call for the RAT to be improved upon so that the concepts of not charging people for undeveloped recreation are codified in a way that isn't just done as a sneak it through in the middle of the night rider on an appropriations bill, which really was so poorly written that it's unenforceable. And what we really should be encouraging people to do is have the Senate look at this issue and to thoughtfully come up with legislation that can be debated and that will solve these problems. We're not opposed to fees for national park entrance. We're not opposed to fees for developed campgrounds. But we certainly are opposed to this new trend of charging for everything under the sun. And I think that can be dealt with legislatively. And we hope that if the public is heard, the Senate might respond appropriately.
I totally concur with that. This is a huge change in the way our public lands are managed, and it needs to be done with public debate and an open recorded vote in Congress, not as an appropriations rider in the middle of the night. That was a very poorly done thing, and this is a very poorly written law. It's full of internal contradictions, ambiguities, and loopholes, and those need to be closed.
All right. And with that, I will thank the both of you for joining us this morning here on People Rise Up to talk about what's going on regarding federal land recreation fees. You are both Scott Silver, founder of Wild Wilderness in Bend, Oregon, available online at wildwilderness.org, and Kitty Benzer, co-founder of the Western Slope No Fee Coalition in Colorado, available online at westernslopenofee.org. Thank you both very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right, take care. And off they go. Again, the People Rise Up website has many, many resources. In fact, I'm looking at it now. There's possibly 40, 50 links to different things that will help inform you more about this issue. If you only click one of those links, click this action alert. It is at the very bottom of the narrative text for today's show, November 2. It will bring you to a Wild Wilderness page urging you to send an email by this Friday, November 5th, by 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern, and it needs to be specific according to the instructions on the Action Alert page, or it will not get entered into the public record. Thank you very much for listening to the program today. If you have any comments or questions about anything you heard today or any other day on this show, you can send email to me at kboo@riseup.net. The People Rise Up webpage is available at kboo.fm. Click on programming, go to the schedule, click People Rise Up in the grid Wednesday morning at 10, and there you'll have it.